1600 UTC.
Maureen Hilliard
joined.
Who's joined on the day off. On today's call, we have Alan Greenberg, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Tijani Benjima, Leon Sanchez, Julie Hammer, Ron Sherwood, Maureen Hilliard. Apologies noted from Holly Raich and Cheryl Langdon Orr. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Young, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much, Gisela. All right, we have a pretty packed agenda today, and would like to be able to do it without going over. So let us start. The first item is the policy development status, and I'll have some additional thoughts and proposals on the concept in general, but first let's go through the particular list of current issues. Ariel, are you on the call? Yes, you are. If you could take us through that list quickly.
Hello, everyone. This is Ariel Liao speaking. I'm just going to paste the agenda to the Dolby Connect room so that make it easier for everybody to look at the list. So the first part is a statement approved by the ALAC, and I'm not going to talk about that. We already know which one has been voted on and adopted. And then the next one is the statementing process being drafted.
Ariel, if I could interrupt.
Yes?
We have the agenda in the Adobe room, but it's not movable. If someone could either scroll to the right page or give us control. Thank you.
Okay, and I synced it, and everybody can scroll, and I scrolled it to the second page. Okay. Is this better now?
It is.
Okay, cool. So about the statements that are in process, we have the ALAC is voting on two statements. One is on the AOC and organizational reviews. The other is on the GNSO PPSAI in a working group initial report. So we already submitted a statement, and ALAC is voting on it. And the vote will end tomorrow at 2359 UTC.
Okay.
Ariel,
since these are both after the fact, can you make sure to remind people we really do need full votes on these?
Yes, I'll always send reminders. Okay. And then next is the statement that seems to be solved. I think there's one is the draft report review of the generic names supporting organizations. And I know that Alan has reached out to Cheryl and Olivier and asking whether we're going to submit a statement or not. And the common close date is July the 20th. So it's a little bit urgent.
Thank you.
Yes,
I would like to speak on that. I put some comments in last night. Olivier, I believe, has added some more extensive comments today. I really would like everyone on the ALT, at the very least, if not the ALAC, to, if you have had any contact with any GNSO activities, and I believe everybody has to some extent, that you at least read the introduction to the report with the recommendations and give any comments of either support or issues that you find with them. It's really important. This is a crucial report. It will make a number of very significant changes and perhaps will not make sufficient changes. And I think we need to be vocal on this, and we unfortunately do not have nearly as much time left as we should. So it's important that we do this for those people participating in the CCWG. It's really got to be done before the CCWG meeting. So that means today and tomorrow. Okay, Ariel, please go ahead.
Alan, Olivia's hand is raised.
Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't see that. Olivia, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivia Caprano speaking, and as I mentioned in my comments, I'll be making further comments. I'm currently filling the sheet of questions, the template. It's a real pain to cut and paste from the template to the wiki page, so I'll try and work something out to to get a template onto the wiki one way or other.
Olivier, what we've done before is fill out the template and just point to it. I'll upload it as an attachment and point to it.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to do. So I'll upload it as an attachment, point to it. The only thing I wanted to mention to you all and perhaps alert you to is that it seems to me that the majority of the review was on outreach, on having more people take part in working groups, on this thing. It seems to be a single track. I'm not sure that this is enough for a GNSO review. I keep on hearing stories of the GNSO not working, of being imbalanced, of being captured, etc. And here, all I'm seeing is a majority of the recommendations being about outreach. In a way, they look as though they're cut and pastes from our ALAC review and from the reviews that we had with At-Large Summit, for example. I note that Westlake are the same consultancy that did the ALAC review. So I just wonder, you know, I guess it's good that they reach the same conclusions in the GNSO as they reach over elsewhere. But I do have concerns that there might be some pushback in the GNSO Council for significant sums to be spent on all the programs that are suggested in there and for things to become a tick box exercise. I think you alluded to that, Alan, of many of the metrics just being a case of, we've got one guy from Asia, one lady from Africa, one chap from Latin America, tick the box,
Olivier,
this sort of stuff. So
Let's keep the comments focused right now. I agree with you that they are doing some things which I believe are correct. They have to be said how effective they're going to be. And the question is, are there things that were omitted? They do have a section saying if there is structural change needed and the GNSO wants to change, they have the ability to change. The problem is that if there is a perception among some that the GNSO is either captured or partially captured, then such change to change that is not going to be possible. And I think that is something which we may need to focus on. As opposed to the specific changes, just point out that capture is a problem that is very hard to overcome because of it's captured.
Yeah, you're quite right, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And anyway, I've put a few points down in my comments, and I invite everyone to comment on that. And I'll furnish some further comments in the next 48 hours. We have to juggle a few things over. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And Ariel, as soon as Olivier indicates that he's done the bulk of what he plans to do, please try to get the attention of the ALAC and the larger community in this.
Noted.
Okay, back to you. I note the next item is empty, but in fact, the first one under B, I'm not quite sure why these things are labeled A, B, C, A, B, but the first one under the second B, in fact, should be under the second A. We do not respond to release of country code and territory names. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll fix the format for a future agenda. And then for the new public comment request requiring decisions, you said the first one not going to drop the statement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then the second one, GNSO translation and transliteration of contact information PDP recommendations for the board consideration, that will close on August the 10th. And we haven't decided whether we are going to submit a statement or not.
Well, I think first we need an evaluation of whether they followed our advice in the last comments. So, who drafted the last comment? The one on translation, transliteration. Was that Satish?
This is Ariel. Yes, that's correct. This is Satish.
Okay, then I would, as a first step, ask Satish to what extent does the final report correspond to what we asked for, or are there still problems that we believe are in it?
Okay. Got it. And there's one more new public comment that just came out yesterday. I haven't got a chance to put it in the our master table yet, but I'm going to paste it in the chat. It's a next generation GTLD registration directory services to the replace WHOIS preliminary issue report. That's a new one, just came out last night.
That's a pretty major one. Can you please ask, as a first pass, ask Carlton to make comments on it? Not as a pen holder, but to give you give his opinion on it, with some urgency on that.
Got it.
Olivia.
FYI, this comment won't due until September the 6th, so we still have a bit time.
Olivia, is that a new hand?
Yes, Alan, it's Olivia speaking.
Go ahead.
It is a new hand. Just to note that I think it's good that we finally get moving on this. There was a discussion earlier this week, or was it last week? I fail to have the exact timings that involved Christopher Wilkinson and a few other people, including Carlton, asking why in the world is this EWG report not moving forward when there's just so much discussion in the WHOIS issue at the moment. And we all know that fixing WHOIS is not an easy task. So I think we can welcome this. I have had a very brief look at the work, and it seems to be just the implementation moving forward. Obviously, Carlton, having been in that expert working group, would definitely be the best person to pursue this.
Well,
so just, of course, the registrant issues working group being, or registration issues working group being the right working group to copy the request to.
Anyone else? All right. The next item on the agenda is, in fact, policy development process. We seem to have slipped into a mode where, to be blunt, we are not doing anything on comments until the very last moment, ratifying things after the fact, and giving the ALAC almost no time, or sometimes no time at all, to do any comments on it. And that's the ALAC and the RALOs. And I think I'm not quite sure if we can fully blame the CWG and CCWG on having gone into this mode, but it's just not acceptable. And I've talked to Ariel and done a fair amount of thinking of it and have a number of proposals to make. And the document is attached and is now on the screen. I think we need to be clear on what our targets are. And again, this is a proposal for discussion. So if people don't agree with it, then now is a good time to speak up, or certainly in the next week. The first item is we need to set some targets for when comments have to be ready. And if you look at, if we want to provide a reasonable amount of time, about a week, for the ALAC and at large to comment, allow an opportunity for revisions, and allow an opportunity for a reasonable vote, we really need comments ready no later than 2 weeks before the end date. Earlier is better. I'm also assuming that we will establish principles that says if it's a really substantive comment with a lot of feedback, that the statement should be a work in progress and should be updated on a regular basis, not wait for everything to be accumulated at the end. I think we also need, and haven't attempted to put it here, some norms for how things get changed. We seem to be working in a mode sometimes, but not always, where if a single person says something, it implicitly goes into the document. And then other people have to say, no, I didn't like that. And that's not really a very acceptable way to do this, where the last person gets the word in their words in edgewise. I don't know who's moving that document, but it makes me dizzy. And now it's shrunk down so I can't read it anymore. So we're going to have to do some work on that. The next thing is, I've suggested that if we are 15 days from the end and there's no statement ready, then we're going into crisis mode. And Ariel points out maybe the word crisis is too strong, but I think we need something that says it's not working. We need to focus on it. And in fact, we need to track things as we're coming up to the 15 days to see if we're going to have a problem coming out there. So that's the first part. Just trying to put some guidelines in. I don't want to make them rules, but I think we do need to flesh out some guidelines for drafters of comments so that they know what's expected of them. Any comments on that section? Nothing's hearing nothing. Let's move on a little bit. One of the bottlenecks right now is I'm the one who has to pass judgment on everything, and sometimes my life is busy and I can't do that. And I would like to suggest that certainly any of the vice chairs and perhaps anyone on the ALT, if it's an area that they have some knowledge on, can make the recommendation on how to proceed. I wouldn't mind if that's done with my agreement if I'm available, but if I'm not available, then I think we should go ahead and not put me in the critical path of everything. We're supposed to be working in a mode where the ALT has more decision-making and responsibility, and I'd like to use that in this case. Tijani, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Alan. Nice speaking. It is about the previous paragraph. You are suggesting 15 days before the deadline that the statement should be already more or less drafted. If it is not done, it is a crisis mode, you said. If the comment period is 21 days before, now it is 14 days. But if it was 21 days and you take off 15 days, what is remaining? I'd like to believe that it is possible, it is doable, but I doubt. That's my comment.
The official comment period now, I believe, is either 40 or 41 days. I don't remember which. I think it's 40. So we're saying 25 days after it comes out should be enough time for the person responsible to have been appointed, read the document, and come out with initial comments. If we can't do that, then I think we have a real problem. Am I missing some timing here? You said something about 20 days, and I'm not quite sure what the 20 days is. Tijani?
No, I'm sorry. It was before 21 days.
Yeah.
It was.
You hear me?
It's now being changed to 40.
You hear me? Yeah. Now it changed to 40, but we experienced the case of CWG, that less than 40 days. I hope it is doable. I hope we can do it, but I am afraid it is a little bit very ambitious. And if we can do it, it's perfect.
Yeah, the CWG and CCWG were 30 days, I believe, and we acknowledged on that we're going to be working down to the wire. Not only were they short periods, but they were comments. They were statements with a lot of contributions, which is rather, sadly, is rather unusual. So I think on those we acknowledged that we would not be finalizing the statement till the last moment, and we would ratify after the fact. So I think those we took the shortened period and the increased interest in them and did adjust the norms. We didn't have the norms at that point, but you know, even if we had, I think they would have been adjusted. So I don't think we want to focus on those in particular, but on the more mundane comments that at this point we're still not doing very well on. But your point is well taken, and this is a proposal. If it doesn't work, then we're going to need to adjust it. You know, this is not God handing down the law. All right, so the part of the point of the first bullet in the next section is we need to get other people involved, and I'm presuming the ALT or parts of the ALT are where this is going to come from. One of the difficulties seems to be how do we communicate with whoever is going to be making the decision. That is, a new public comment has just been posted. What do we do about it? Who do we give control over it? If we wait to the next ALT or ALAC meeting, chances are the majority of the comment period will have passed already. So we have to really work on a day-by-day basis as comments come out. And I know email sometimes is not the best way to get people because people are somewhat overwhelmed. Skype chats, various people use or do not use Skype, and if things roll off the screen on Skype or you're not logged on when the message comes out, you might not see it. So this I'm asking for input. What's the best method to get hold of people? Do we want a dedicated policy development Skype chat for the ALT, but which will not be used for other things that will cause things to scroll off the screen? Any thoughts on that? Or am I the only one who has problems handling the both the Skype and the email load? Tijani.
So I'm not the only one, and I think your proposal of a dedicated Skype is a good way because, frankly speaking, sometimes on the ALAC chat, people are saying their story or very long story, etc. So I don't read everything on the ALAC Skype. So if we have a dedicated Skype for the policy development, it would be a good way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ones we could use is the ALT Skype. But even that, I find, you know, when people get involved, you can get a few screens going forward, and anything before that just disappears unless you're very scrupulous and go back and read it. Okay, let's try a dedicated Skype chat, and we'll see how that goes. Next item, it's a small item, but it turns out, for reasons that I'm not quite sure of, although we diligently review policy development issues on teleconferences, we don't during face-to-face meetings, and therefore we end up having a month go by where we don't notice things have come out. So that will simply fix by making sure it is in the agenda. One of the suggestions that Ariel had, and I like it, although I'm not quite sure I know how to do it, is we ask people to hold pens and write things, but we really haven't given them any training, any guidelines as to how they're supposed to do that, how they're supposed to incorporate comments from other people. And what do people think about trying to put on a webinar and this kind of thing, or, you know, whether it's a webinar or an online course, I'm not quite sure. But I sort of like the idea. I'm not sure who's going to volunteer to put it together, but I sort of like the idea. Any other thoughts? Dave is making comments in the chat, but I haven't read any of them. Dave, is it something you want to actually say? Is it relevant to this particular discussion? Free to speak.
Okay, this is Dave. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Lovely. Thank you. This is Dave. I just want to mention, I haven't gone through this document, just seeing this for the first few minutes, but I'm wondering, you know, the at-large improvement implementation project, and when we finished the report in June 2012, I don't think we really ever fully implemented the actual report, especially as it dealt with public comments. We, and let's put one example, was that, you know, we were supposed to establish a Paul View Committee, and that will be responsible for advising the ALAC of actions needed regarding upcoming policy comments, as well as issues that are not under public comments but only of at-large interest. So, and I mean, it went into detail as to how it was supposed to work in terms of timing and so forth. So I just wanted to know whether, A, was this ever looked at before this document was produced?
I'll be honest. I have
asked. So, and I think that's why perhaps we should look at that. Because, I mean,
Dave, to be honest.
Go ahead.
I lived through the review, and I have absolutely no recollection of this item. So maybe I'm the only one, and everyone else knows it was something, but it's completely passed me by. It seems like overkill to address this problem to have a formal committee, but maybe I'm wrong. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I think that we should start by a survey, asking people if they need knowledge about drafting a statement or drafting a comment. Because perhaps all the ALAC members should be able to do so, should have the experience to do so, but we can ask them. If we want to go till the ALS level, I think we need to make some capacity building about drafting comments, drafting statements.
Thank you, Tijani. I would dare say, based on experience over the last number of months, that some of the people who currently draft statements need a little bit of help in terms of understanding the process. I won't go into any more details. Do we have anyone who's interested in trying to put something like that together? Obviously with staff, and I'd just like to perhaps have a couple of people put together some bullet points and ideas on how to go on what we need to include in this. I'll certainly participate. Olivier, is that a hand up to volunteer or to speak? Olivier? Can't hear you.
Okay, I was muted. Can you hear me now?
You and a horn.
Okay, excellent. Hi, it's Olivier speaking. Yeah, I'm outdoors. It's Olivier speaking, and I'm not putting my hand up to volunteer. Just to mention, though, that we have a presentation that's nearly okay that deals with policy development that shows, you know, the way the policy is being developed in that large with a nice little diagram and so on. Just putting together a couple more slides and doing a webinar, I don't think is a big deal, and would be very, very good. What I would suggest, though, is we also have these very good beginner's guides. And these are staff projects where when staff has a bit of spare time, they will start drafting one of these beginner's guides. And I wonder whether we should ask if there would be any volunteer and staff to put together a beginner's guide to policy development in at large, in effect, a beginner's guides for pen holders. There's a number of number of skills that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Olivier. I think that's exactly what we're talking about. And I ask Ariel to collect any of the pointers people have to existing documents. If anyone has anything we've missed at this point that you think would contribute that we should review before doing any going forward, please send them to Ariel. And we'll do something going forward. And Ariel, when you get everything put together, can you have an action item to talk to me to start with, and then we'll get some other people involved? All right. Next item is in terms of...
Ariel had her hand up.
Go ahead, Ariel.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. This is Ariel speaking. Just to talk about the beginner's guide, actually, Natalie and I are reviewing the latest beginner's guide on ALSs, and there's a section is the policy development, policy advice development in ALAC, and revising the text there because a lot of the texts are outdated. And then also for the future website, we will have a dedicated page about getting involved. And one section is about policy. So this is in the plan that we are going to draft some text to explain how the ALAC develops statements. But of course, we will need input from the community. But then staff, I mean, me and my team will work on the text and for the community to review. So this is something just as a FYI.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item is something we talked about very early after I became chair, and I think actually when Olivia was chair also, of using at-large staff to, our staff is called policy staff, but they do very little policy work, unlike the policy staff in other parts of the organization. And I think it's reasonable that we get people more involved. Now, this might be creating briefing documents at the start of a policy development, a statement development process. But at the very least, I think there's perhaps some editing and cleanup that can be done towards the end of a statement development that takes some of the pressure off of the individual drafter. It may make it easier for people whose native language is not English to participate in this process. I don't think that changes the responsibility of the pen holder for making sure the statement says what it should be saying, but I believe Ariel and perhaps others in policy staff, if this grows to be a larger task, can certainly be take on an editing role as we go forward in drafting statements. Now, that's something, as I said, we have discussed it before. We haven't actually done it, but I think perhaps it's time to start. And I think that's about all that we need to focus on there. In terms of action items, there is a very long laundry list of expected comments. It's not necessarily exhaustive in that other comments will surely come along that weren't predicted, but there is no reason that we cannot look at that list and try to assign tentative pen holders or make tentative decisions on whether we go ahead or not. I've asked Ariel to create a spreadsheet, and there's one on the wiki, but there's also one attached to this agenda. I would like all the ALT members and the liaisons to go through it, complete the matrix at least until the beginning of 2016. And if you know nothing about a particular subject, you can leave it blank. If you know something about the subject or have an opinion, give an indication of whether you think a statement will be warranted or not. This is not the final decision, but it will give us a good basis for going forward. And if you think you have an obvious pen holder, please identify who that is. And I ask Ariel to collect all of those documents and collate them together so we can then discuss them as a group. And that is an action item. Any comments before we close off this item? I think this is the end of the item, but it disappeared from the list.
Alan, Deb has his hand.
Yep. Dave, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Dave, and I'm speaking. I posted in the chat the policy advice development process works, which has some of the links regarding this policy process, and which probably was not really properly implemented at all since 2012 when it was finally submitted. So I'll say, Alan, if you want to go through it and make your comments on that and see whether it could be implemented now. My only concern is that the way the policy process is drafted, it kind of makes it the ALAC being the ones to do the comments and not necessarily pushing it to the at-large working groups. So, for example, the upcoming policy issues, what should be happening is that this should be fed to the, like, those related to new GTLDs fed to the new GTLD working group, the anything who is related fed to the, I can't remember the group now, the rights and responsibilities working
Dave, group. Dave, if I can interrupt, that's one of the documents that Ariel should be collecting for our looking at overall. So, you know, I don't, we're not going to try to design the process here, and that is one of them.
Understood.
I do have a caution, however. Sending things to a working group, which then has its own timeline of when it meets or doesn't meet, is going to add far too much time to a decision process. I would like to think that in all work groups there is someone on the ALT who is semi-active and knowledgeable of what's going on.
This is Dave. I think I would say that you obviously have to communicate to the working group when the deadline is. And so that the chairs of that working group will know that deadline and work to, and try to get the working group to respond in time.
Again, we're going into the design of the process here, which I don't want to do on this group. I certainly have some concerns about how effective our working groups have been, with the exception of one exception led by Dave. Our working groups have been close to defunct. And relying on them at this point has not been very effective. Maybe part of the revitalization of work groups can make them effective again, but let's not make assumptions on that part. In any case, we want to collect the input so that we can make a decision and not necessarily say, "Oh, we didn't know about something when we were considering it." Any other items, Olivia? You have your hand up.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. I fully support what Dave is saying, and if you want to share the load, I don't think the load should be shared among the ALT. The ALT is already busy enough. It's got to be shared among the ALAC, and it's got to be shared among the working group chairs. And the one day, hopefully, we'll have metrics, if working group chairs do not drive and actively drive their working groups, then there needs to be a metric that shows that they're not and they need to be replaced. That's the only way we're going to have a vibrant community. Thank you.
Yeah, just to be clear, I wasn't suggesting the ALT write documents. I'm saying make the triage decision, which should be made within a day of the public comment being announced, or a day or 2 days, of who's going to be responsible for it. And that may well be the working group. To make the decision of who is responsible for even looking at it, a working group decision, I think, adds too many steps to the process. But that's my opinion, and it doesn't necessarily the one that we're going to go through. Heidi.
Yeah, thank you. This is Heidi for the record. Just 2 points. One is in terms of the capacity building webinar for drafting statements. That, to me, seems like a perfect one for one of Tajani's capacity building working group series of, of webinars. And another one on that same point might be to get the working group chairs who are not as strong in leading a group or in facilitating drafting of a statement might be to have another webinar on how to be a strong chair. And that's something that we could get maybe a facilitator in to help them.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments before we go on? We're running a little bit late already. I think it's been a productive discussion. All right. The next item is the update on CCWG. Now, I presume most of the people here, but I may be wrong, participated in the IANA issues call yesterday. Let's have a show of hands. How many did not participate in it? Okay, we have several, so let's do this, but we'll try to keep it somewhat brief. Heidi, is that hand a new hand?
No, sorry, I'll take it down.
Okay. Currently, we are preparing for the face-to-face meeting in Paris that will happen on Friday and Saturday of this week. there has been a rather large amount of work being done by the working parties looking at the public comments and the decisions that have been made or issues that have been arose out of the Buenos Aires meeting. We're in the interesting situation where the public comments were made on a document which essentially by the beginning of the Buenos Aires meeting was to some extent invalid because we had already gone past a number of issues and specifically the concept of formally unincorporated associations. So that work is going on. We are currently looking at three models, I believe. That is the empowered membership, empowered designator. And the term empowered means an ACRSO does not have to formally create an unincorporated association, but can simply transform themselves into a sufficiently legal entity by making a declaration. Whether those entities are in fact unincorporated associations is not 100% clear to me, but in fact, ALAC is probably already an unincorporated association, in fact, because of the processes and rules we have. So I don't think it changes the environment. We're also talking again about the concept of a single member or designator. This would be made up of the representatives of the other ACs and SOs. And it was something that died a long time ago, but somehow is being brought back at this point. So I don't quite know where that's going. I'll let Leon speak a little bit about it. There is a third working party that's been formed to address a number of issues that we have sort of not focused on before. Those are staff and accountability, staff and management accountability, SOAC accountability, how the SOACs are accountable to their constituencies, to the larger community, and how we make sure that all the ACs and SOs together are accountable to the ICANN community, enhancement of diversity, and a fourth item called board duties that I can't remember what it meant, but maybe Leon can, and I suspect Leon would like to go to just a little bit more detail on other issues related to Work Party 3, and then we'll open it up for questions if anyone has any. Leon, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. Yes, we opened a new working party within the CCWG. This is Working Party 3, as Alan just explained. And we opened this working party a week and a half ago with targets to produce three documents before our Paris meeting. And we are expected to deliver these final versions today in a couple of hours. And I think we're right on track to deliver these documents, at least the one on staff management accountability, the SO and AC accountability, and the enhancement of diversity documents. The board duties is, so far as I can tell, related to staff and management accountability. There's nothing specific being done to that end. But the three documents that have been so far on the work try to address the comments received in the public comment period with regards to the proposal being mainly centered in accountability measures or mechanisms that targeted the board as the main as the main person being accountable to the community or willing to be held accountable to the community. So what we did is to divide the work into three subgroups, and then we went reviewing the documents that we have at hand to inventory the existing mechanisms already in place that try to address or try to take care of the different issues raised in the public comments. We so far have received, of course, feedback not only from the subgroup, but from other members. I remember receiving feedback from Olivier and others in our call yesterday, the IANA issues call yesterday. this feedback has already been incorporated into the document. And one of the main concerns that was raised by Olivier, if I remember well, is that, like, for example, we have already some mechanisms that are in the bylaws, but the problem is that these mechanisms are not being followed in the bylaws. So we need to find a way to have whatever mechanisms or measures we have already in the bylaws and other documents to actually be followed and implemented. And if they are not followed or implemented, then there should be some kind of consequence for not following those provisions. So the long story short on staff and management accountability is that we are proposing to have some kind of training and education to both staff and the board with regards to building a culture of transparency and accountability. And there was also the comment on whether the community would be the one or should be the one to hold staff accountable. And my feeling is that it was widely supported that the community shouldn't be the one to hold staff accountable, but rather have, of course, the hierarchy within ICANN respect it and have the CEO be the one responsible for staff accountability. And only if the CEO wasn't carrying out this task properly, then the community should be able to go back to the CEO and, of course, demand accountability on staff. Another issue is that there have been some recommendations in the ATRT that refer to staff but do not pose any direct tasks into staff with regards to transparency and accountability. And we were reminded by Avi that there was a recommendation on whistleblowing by staff, and that we should revisit that proposal and maybe include it as part of the workstream 2 tasks that we would be carrying in the CCWG. So mainly all of the mechanisms or solutions that are being proposed with regards to staff accountability would be pushed to being taken care of in workstream 2. And the only thing that we would be addressing in Workstream 1 would be this commitment to address this as part of Workstream 2, as Workstream 2 work. Then with regards to the SONAC accountability, we are proposing also to have periodical reviews by each SONAC. And we are trying, of course, to build also some kind of mechanism that will ensure that these reviews are not only something formal or instrumental that the each SORAC can take on their own and just say, we have had our review and we are okay, we are accountable and we're transparent. So we need to tie that to some kind of independent review, so we make sure that these reviews do address the issue on accountability and transparency within each SONAC, and also taking that to the next level by having the SONACs accountable to their constituents and to, for example, their ALS or RALOS in case of the ALS maybe. And then with regards to diversity, we have a paper written by Sebastian Bachelet, and this paper tries to address the issue on diversity by suggesting not only periodical reviews on diversity as well, but also proposing that we take care of diversity within the Workstream 1 mechanisms that are being proposed, for example, within the IRP or the Community Council, in which we should take into account different criteria in order to address diversity. We have come up with a list of non-exhaustive requirements. And what I mean non-exhaustive is, that this list should be looked at only as a reference and not as an absolute list of requirements. And within these requirements, we have included, of course, region, origin, language, gender, and a couple of other criteria that would be necessary to take into account when trying to appoint or fill any positions within any group or any mechanism that we're proposing as part of the enhancing accountability solutions. So with this, I think I'll turn the call back to Alan, and of course I'm open for any questions or comments.
And are there any questions or comments? Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, we have Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier Capanablon speaking. My question to Leon and actually to other members of or participants in the discussions that will take place in Paris, in your view, what will be the most controversial and the most decisive or important decision that will have to be taken in Paris? And do you, you know, how much help do you need from the at-large community to get the support to fight the fight that is looming? If there is such a fight, maybe there is no fight. Thank you.
Certainly the decision on which model to pick is not a done deal at this point. There are those of us who believe there is only one possible alternative, although the new single member designator has confused that issue. Many of us came out of Buenos Aires believing the membership model was dead and designator is it. That is not agreed to by the group formally, and there are still people fighting tooth and nail for the membership model. I believe there are some fatal flaws, but it's not clear how the group is going to come to closure on that. So maybe Leon has some wisdom, or if he's smart, maybe he doesn't want to share it with us. I think that single decision is the absolute crucial one. The second one, which goes to, I think, the long-term health of the organization, is the voting structure and whether ACs and SOs have equal status and whether the SAC, RSAC, and perhaps the ASO are treated equally or not. There are strong arguments why they should not be. The RSAC and to a lesser degree the SAC are board appointed. The ASO really only is a vehicle for passing on RIR discussions, RIR issues, and is not an active group in its own right as a separate group within ICANN. So there are strong reasons for not treating them equally. On the other hand, they're all advisory committees and perhaps should be treated equally, and there are some very strong opinions. There's another issue on whether the GAC, if it were to participate, whatever participate means, participate may just mean talking, not actually casting votes, should they lose their special status with regard to how their advice is considered and must be negotiated if the board does not accept it. There are a few people who feel very strongly that that's an issue. I think that one will die, but I really don't know for sure. And there's a plethora of other decisions that are going to have to be made along the way where there's going to be, to some extent, winners and losers who get their way or don't, but I'm not sure that they're ones that are going to be die on the sword types of decisions. Shoshani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. As for the model, if will be the most important decision of Paris meeting, and I think that what we all agree on is that the model of all the being members of individual members of ICANN is not acceptable at all. So this is something that I think all of us agree on. We need now
Tajani,
more explanation.
Tajani, when
about
you say all of us, do you mean
yes.
the five ALAC members, or do you mean the working group?
Yes. No, the five, I am speaking about ALAC.
Okay.
ALAC members. We need more explanation about the single member model, but a single designator model perhaps. But I think that we all also agree that designator is better than member. In any case, so it will be, in my point of view, either a single designator member. Or a single designator or a designator, empowered designator. And this will depend on the explanation of the legal team about the single designator model. Coming back to the ALAC, to the GAC, I read the comments of government. And I said that they all agree on one single point. They all want to keep their status as advisor in the same way they are now. And I think this is well for everything, for everyone. We don't have to disagree with that. We don't have any interest to disagree with that. And this is less controversial than the other proposals for them. I think that the voting rate among the community will be a problem, because I saw a lot of people, some, let's say, a lot of contracted parties people suggested that the GNSO should have more votes than the others. And this must not be accepted by us, in my point of view. Really, for an equal footing, all ISO and ACs, but I can live with the proposal of the first public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Two other comments that I think need to be made. The concept of the GAC as an advisor only is one of those things that in its own right is fine. But if it's a component of other groups saying they don't want to take part also, we could end up with only the GNSO or the GNSO and the CCNSO taking active part. And that is really problematic in my mind. The optics of these mechanisms being invocable only by those two SOs I think would be a real problem. So I'm not quite sure how we proceed on that, and it'll remain to be seen how this goes forward. But, concepts like the whole board will be removed as a decision of, largely one SO with the other SO not objecting could be really problematic. So that's something to consider. The other thing is Thomas Schneider made a long intervention at the meeting today, something he hasn't done before, that went along with the submission that the GAC sent on positions of individual countries. Not a GAC position, but a position of individual countries. However, what he ended with was a statement saying if the CCWG goes ahead on its current plan and puts all of the kinds of protections into Workstream 1 as it is planning, there is a high chance that the GAC will not be able to approve it. Other people came back and explained why, in their minds, it was necessary to put it in, but I think they missed the point, that he said, if all of that is there, there may not be sufficient time to approve it in Dublin. And that's a rather serious statement. if the governments end up not ratifying the accountability plan. And it's not clear that his statement was really processed very well by some people. They certainly responded with the theory why they thought everything was necessary, but did not respond to the, I won't say threat, but the statement that the whole thing may go up in flames if it's too complex and too much for the GAC to support. So again, that remains to be seen how that's going to work out. Anything else? All right, let us go on. We're the next item on the agenda is the ALS criteria and engagement next steps. It will be very short. I have asked Heidi to immediately start the process of making sure that we have all of the formal members and to start scheduling meetings, and I'm looking to one meeting a week, possibly at rotating times, to make sure that we're not disenfranchising any region. And we will then call for observers, or not observers, but participants from the rest of the of at large once we've formally decided on the times and things like that. And so that will be proceeding hopefully very quickly. Any comments, questions on that? The discussion paper that was sent out that we talked about in Buenos Aires will certainly form a basis for the initial discussion, but everything is on the table at this point. I would like to be able to come to closure and make some formal recommendations in time for approval before or at Dublin. Last call on questions, comments? All right. On to item number 7, which is a debrief of the ICANN 53 meeting. I think this is something we're going to be doing a little bit more of to try to make sure we learn from what's going on. And I will ask Gisela to lead this, please. Is Gisela with us?
Yes, I'm here. I believe Tijani has raised his hand.
Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you. It is about the 0.6 ALS engagement. And so the plan is to have a meeting with all regions or all ALSs. I don't understand your point.
The agreement was we would put a task force together. The task force is being chaired by me. We'll include as formal members one ALAC member from each region to be selected by the ALAC members. And I believe, Heidi, correct me, two RALO representatives selected by the RALO management according to whatever process they choose. So it could be someone named by the RALO chair if that is in line with how they work, or it could be a wider call for participation. And in addition to that, it will be open to anyone else who also wants to participate. But those 15 plus chair are the core group. That's something we decided.
Okay, and
that's something we proposed in Singapore and ratified from soon after that.
And you are proposing that you start the meetings of this group, of this task force?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Something should have been done before now, but we've been a little bit occupied. Tijani, do you have a follow-on?
It's okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Back over to you, Gisela.
Alan, thank you. Gisela here. Just for all the ALT members and other people on this call, we had a debrief with Alan following the Buenos Aires meeting, and we just went through a few suggestions for the pre, during, and post-meeting just to make everyone's life easier. Now, one of the main points, of course, for all face-to-face meetings is the scheduling. So what has made things much easier is that we now are working with Leon and Alan on scheduling all the meetings. A suggestion made as well was to work on all the meetings, all the people we were going to be meeting with during the face-to-face meetings, And if you just bear with me for a second, I'm going to bring up a list of the face-to-face meetings we had in Buenos Aires during our ALAC sessions. And this was one of the main points that Alan brought up, to work on this initial document on, during the sessions, who we were going to be meeting with and the topics we were going to be discussing. This is once we've already set up the schedule and defined the times for the ALAC sessions on the Sunday and on the Tuesday. We work very closely with Leon on scheduling all the other meetings. I think that in Dublin, unless I'm mistaken, we'll have pretty much the same format as BA, as in a large number of our accountability and IANA issues meetings, general meetings, and we will have to fit in our meetings. We also discussed our 7 a.m. meetings to try and avoid those. Unfortunately, as everyone knows, the time slots are extremely limited. My thinking behind that is then we could prioritize the meetings that we need to schedule and perhaps ask some of the working groups to possibly just have a conference call as opposed to having a face-to-face meeting. Heidi, is there anything that you wish to add to that initial scheduling point?
Thank you, Kisela. And this was an initiative that Kisela and I had right after Buenos Aires, just to ensure that everyone is getting the most out of these meetings. So perhaps one thing is what we could do is, you know, go back. No need to do that now, but take that list that on presentation topics, and we might be able to add another column that says, you know, how useful you thought it was, or you could send that in an email, since it's not on the public list or public wiki, and that will help us determine whether this is something, you know, the people that we're speaking with on a traditional basis is something that we want to go ahead and continue with. You'll note that on these, here in Buenos Aires, we had two newer speakers, and one was Jean-Jacques Sahel, who spoke on civil society engagement, and he's going to be leading the civil society engagement for the next, at least in the next fiscal year, and I'm sure likely longer than that. So that's someone you might want to think about having on a more regular basis. And also Nora Absueta, who is leading several points within ICANN. One is, well, she's the development division and public responsibility. So you might want to think about having her speak to the ALAC more often on a more regular basis. And I think that's it for that point, Kisela.
Thank you, Heidi. Yeah, thank you. A couple of comments. Gisela said that this list is tied to the when the meetings will be held, but in fact, I think we want to start earlier than that and start putting together a list of what we want. Where it gets fit in may vary, but one of the issues that's come up is there are lots of comments towards the end of the meeting and during the meeting of what we should have talked about, how much time we should have allowed for things, how people are cut off because we're trying to keep the schedule, why didn't we do something or other, and yet when we review the schedules both with the ALT and with the ALAC, we get virtually no feedback, with a few minor exceptions, or maybe major, but with a few exceptions. One of the things I proposed is that instead of looking over detailed schedules and saying what is in what time slot and it's from 9:15 to 9:47, that we start off with something that could be presented essentially in one page of who do we want to meet with, what do we want to talk about, roughly how much time do we want to allow, and that goes for both internal meetings within the ALAC and subjects that we want to, ALAC and at large, that we want to focus on, external meetings joint with other groups. So try to put the information without the clutter of what day it's on and what time it's in as a first pass, and just present something that people can easily focus on and say, this is what we're going to be doing within ALAC and at large for the week. What are we missing? What are we focusing on incorrectly? And try to put it in a form that people can process it easily without having to flip through multiple wiki pages and multiple documents. So we're going to give that a try, Whether it will work or not remains to be seen. But, and this is part of a trend you'll hear, I think we need to get more people involved. Only having complaints after the fact doesn't really address the problem. It's nice to have debriefings, but I think we need to work ahead of time. Back over to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, Heidi wants to speak.
This is Heidi. I wanted to also note that one other suggestion we had was to have a single issue call prior to the next meeting so we can all, rather than having it fit into a very busy ALAC or ALT agenda, that we'll have actually a single issue call on developing the agendas, going through the overall meeting schedule, so we come into the meeting knowing exactly who we're speaking, what we hope to get out of that presentation, et cetera, as we come into the meeting itself. Thank you.
Gisela?
Yes, thank you, Heidi. I didn't have anything else to add with regards to the scheduling, nor for the preparation. What we came up with as well, which we thought would be useful for everyone on the ALT, is to have the staff responsibilities during a NICAN face-to-face meeting, public meeting, just to make sure that you're addressing the right person if you have any concerns. It doesn't mean that we are limited to these functions. You know very well that we all multifunction, but multitask. But we thought that this might, as we wrote at the top, to include and not restricted to, if you'd just like to run over that on who does what during the meeting, which will hopefully just make us all very much more efficient.
All right, and that document's attached to the agenda, so you can look at it in your own time.
And Alan, if I might, this is Heidi again, just very quickly, we've been doing this for the last several years, is that for each meeting on the wiki page, right underneath the title and the time, you will see who is leading that meeting. Again, that means that the person normally sitting next to the chair, listening to what's going on, advising when possible, et cetera. Then there's also the note taker. That's, for the most part, that's Sylvia, who's actually listening for the action items and other main points. And then finally, we have RP, and that's the person who's doing the remote participation. So for each meeting, you'll see that who's leading and who's taking on those responsibilities for that particular meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on this item? Going, gone. Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi. This is Dave. Just one suggestion here. I think in terms of the pre-planning for face-to-face meetings, I think what needs to happen is that a lot of these sessions need to be, I would say, tagged related to working group interest. So, for example, there's civil society engagement that was presented, that was shown on the Saturday. What should have been done is that before the meeting, I would say ideally a week or two before, the various working groups are notified. So civil society engagement, that's at large outreach and engagement working group. If there was a who is related issue, then the registrant rights and responsibilities working group, new GTLDs, that type of thing. Because I think what's the problem that's happening here is that the vast majority of the working groups and by extension the at-large community are simply just in the dark as to what's happening in these face-to-face meetings. And I think we have to have the better communication as to what's happening for each of those sessions.
Okay, so Dave.
So that's just one suggestion.
So Dave, you're suggesting that we make sure the community that is not attending the meeting understands well ahead of time what sessions may be of particular interest so that they can try to make sure to attend if their time allows.
Yes, and And also, if they will have a particular question or query, then, you know, some, a discussion can happen beforehand that this needs to be brought at the face-to-face meeting. So, yeah.
Maureen.
Sorry. Ellen, it's Maureen for the record. Just, I just wanted to raise, because I didn't realize, know if it was going to be the appropriate place, but just to raise the new meeting strategy working group has got all these little outreachy and other, other types of meetings and that are included in it, and I just wanted to sort of like to highlight these in relation to the fact that we're looking at a sort of like a plan for meetings that sort of that may alter, and I think you've mentioned that before. So when we're actually looking at how, you know, how our meetings are constructed and the scheduling, that we need to include, you know, like what is proposed for the new meetings that are going to start next year. So, you know, this is going to involve a lot of discussion outside of the group that is working on it at the moment. But it, yeah, it's sort of like we're already identifying that there's quite a number of issues that are going to come up in relation to our ordinary sort of like scheduling of meetings. Just thought I'd highlight that now.
Thank you, Maureen. Heidi. Heidi, you're on.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a point regarding in response to what Bev said, and that, you know, we would like to have the working group chairs take a more proactive position in developing the agendas and listening to what, the other meetings are going to be, about and what they're going to be focusing on. So it's sort of a much more synchronized way of developing an overall at-large agenda. So it really should not be a surprise to the working group chairs on, who's speaking at what other meeting. So again, a single issue call where the ALT and the working group chairs and maybe the railroad chairs are all on the call so they can understand and collaborate on what is being planned might be useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Dave, your hand is still up. Is that a new hand?
This is Dave. Just a quick response. I think that's what needs to happen. The working group chairs need to be, if it's not being dealt with at the ALAC level, then at the ALT level, then the working group chairs of all the working groups need to be invited and be made, well aware of what's happening in preparation for these meetings and can make the request. But I just point out that there seems to be a lack of communication that between the ALAC, I don't know if it's between the ALAC staff in combination with the working groups, because I see things, I'll give two examples. I saw that for the Singapore meeting, for example, there was a discussion about the crop RG, and the crop RG was not even informed about this discussion that was about to take place. That's just one example, and I think that's just one example. I can cite several others. The outreach brochures being presented at the Singapore meeting, even though the outreach and engagement working group had gave input to the first draft of it, that type of thing.
So,
we need better communication with working groups.
All right, I'd like to essentially morph into the next item because it's really a continuation of the same thing but with more focus on teleconferences. At this point, it pretty well falls on Heidi and other staff and me putting together the ALT and ALEC agendas, and I would like to make this more a communal responsibility or at the very least make sure that it's clear that we are welcoming input from other people. To this end, number one, on the ALT meetings, we typically know when they are ahead of time, and we're going to do a better job of scheduling them more than a few days out. And the ALAC meetings, we know very well when they are. So on the ALT meetings, I'm going to ask on a regular basis, and you don't need to be asked each time, from ALT members, if you want something put on the agenda, let us know. Let me know and let Heidi know, who does the main planning of agendas. And, you know, it's not clear we can accommodate everything, but at least make your interest known. And I'm going to ask staff for the ALAC meetings about 2 weeks out before the meeting to send out a note to the ALAC list, the public ALAC list, that anyone who wants to see an item discussed on the agenda or believe it needs to be discussed, please let us know. Now, again, there's no guarantee that we can fit everything into agendas, but if you don't let people know ahead of time, then there's a good chance it may be missed. So just a heads up that I think we're going to try to get more involvement in the planning process for these meetings, both the face-to-face, as we've been talking about, and the teleconferences, so that we have fewer things that fall through the cracks. Anything else on that item before we go on to the next one? We are getting towards the end of the meeting, and we should be ending somewhat early, I hope. No comments. Okay, the next item is we need to do an update of the rules of procedure. There's a number of things certainly related to the board member selection that came up during the last process that need to be clarified and cleaned up. There are a number of other items that we've noted over the last year and a half that that probably need some cleaning up. So just a heads up that this will be coming. Start putting together your lists and forwarding them to me and staff so that we can put together a laundry list of. I don't think it's going to be a particularly difficult set of updates nor a controversial one, but I think we need to do some cleanup on it. Now, related to that, there is the item that Leon mentioned of Work Party 3 of Accountability, looking at staff SOAC accountability, and part of that, I believe, is going to look at the rules of procedure, the operating principles of the various groups, perhaps down to the RALOs, and looking at to what extent accountability is built into the rules. So that will be part of the focus of what we'll be looking at on the ALAC rules as well. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. As for the board selection rule of procedure update, I have the document almost ready, but I need to make a call for the MSPC group and try to make them agree or adopt all the points document so that I send it to ALAC for movement for adoption, and then it can be updated. So I don't forget it. But I am. I told Roberto, who was asking me why we don't go ahead. I said, personally, I cannot focus on this point now. I hope I will do during this summer, or perhaps a little bit later, but this year, everything will be done, and the recommendation will be sent to the ALAC.
Thank you, Tijani. I wasn't implying that we're going to do that in the next 2 weeks. I think it should be done before Dublin, or perhaps at Dublin, but somewhere in that time frame. So, yes, it would be appreciated if you can get it done, but clearly we're not looking at it in the next 2 weeks. Consideration. When you go back to your committee, which I think you said you're going to, make it clear that this is the committee making recommendations and the ALAC adopts changes. We don't want to set expectations incorrectly.
Yeah. It's clear.
Yeah. I mean, the prerogative of that group was for that election, not necessarily how to go forward. Although I don't expect there to be radical differences. So that's just a heads up. I think, you know, we can start accumulating things. I know that over the last year and a half, occasionally we found a rule which wasn't quite what we expected it to be, or didn't quite meet some particular needs. The last item is any other business. I have one item. Does anyone else have anything else to add? We didn't call for any other business at the beginning of the agenda, so I'll ask now. Olivier, yes.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Clapin of Blanc speaking. I just wanted to alert you to the Atlas II at-large summit, second at-large summit follow-up. As discussed face-to-face, we were going to go through some of the recommendations and get the working group itself, the Atlas II working group, to find out, do a stock take, effectively, find out which recommendations are still working, which ones are not, which ones need to be amended, etc. Shortly after the meeting, whilst we were still based in Buenos Aires, Ariel, Dave, and I spent some time together to kickstart the process. So you will soon be seeing some movement on this. And it is my plan to have a lot more recommendations ready for consumption by the ALAC or implementation by the ALAC, by staff, by the board, etc., depending on where they need to be sent. But we've made some very good progress on this, and I'm planning to launch some new conference calls to get the wider at-large summit follow-up group to engage. I think it's important. It's important for two reasons. One, it actually involves those people that were there face-to-face, and we might be able to use this as a leverage for them to be involved more in our working groups. And secondly, it's also important that we show to the board and to others that this summit has yielded recommendations that are to be implemented. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll give the floor to Dave in a moment, but I'll take question with your last statement. The issue is not to demonstrate that we have recommendations to be implemented. The issue is that we have quality recommendations to be implemented. And I'm assuming that the triage work you're doing right now is looking at the recommendations and their merits and making sure that when we present them, that we're in a position where we can defend them and not just simply say, this was an Atlas recommendation, therefore it has to be done. You know, it's a year and a half, it's a year plus later at this point, and I think we have to make sure what we're talking about is still applicable. So just a caution. Dave.
Thanks. This is Dave and I'm speaking. I posted the link in the chat. I posted up some immediate work items, objectives for the ALAC subcommittee on outreach and engagement. And I hope, well, maybe either with you and or staff could take a look at these items, because I know that one of the concerns that I was picked up on in the final day of the wrap-up session was that people seem to have misunderstandings or concerns about how outreach should be handled. There seems to be two streams of thought, that it should be the RALOs be doing it on their own versus having it done under this working group. And it's really creating, I think, a problem in terms of how this should be organized. So perhaps if you don't have time, perhaps you and staff could take a look at it and have a discussion afterwards. But
okay, thank you.
That's it.
All right. The other item I had was, and this came up during this meeting, is revitalization of working groups. We've been talking about that now for, I'm guessing, 2 years running. We have a small number of working groups that are active and doing things. We have others that exist in name only, some without chairs. I think we just made a decision, but correct me if I'm wrong, that we would put the Future Challenges working group on hold. I think there was a discussion held in Buenos Aires, and we made that decision at this point. But other than that, the question is, how do we go forward? Do we need to reorganize the groups? Are the current group names still applicable? How do we staff them? And how do we actually get some productive work out of them? And I see two hands up. I will say, out of this discussion, I would like to have some volunteers to work on a plan, not to do the work, but to propose a plan how we go forward and do this, Tijani first and then Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. I think that we need to make the call for confirmation of willing to be member of the working group or for new members of the working group each year, once a year. Because we have people who are coming, people who are going, so every year we need new blood inside the working group. And we have to be sure that people who are on the list are still willing to be members of the region. So we don't have to take the original members as a continuous as standing member. We have to make an evaluation each year and ask people if they want to continue and ask other people if they want to join. Thank you.
Tijani, I take it from you, that statement that you are volunteering to put together the plan, since you've just described several aspects of that plan. Do you agree that you have just volunteered?
Yes, I can participate, yes.
Okay, thank you. Olivier. I would, to the extent possible, like to not do the plan here, but get volunteers to do the plan. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thanks, Alan, and I'm going to be quick because I need to be on another call. I'm already 5 minutes late, but I agree with Tijani. I don't think we need to redesign our working groups. I think that we've got exactly the right working groups. What we're missing is reliable chairs. So if we have a reenactment of the chair or a confirmation of the chair yearly, that's great. If the chair hasn't done anything, then the chair is out and get a next chair in. We have plenty of people that can chair working groups. It's sad that the best working groups that are working are all chaired by the same person, and that's Dave.
Okay, so now we have another. We now have another aspect of the plan that needs to be written, Dave.
Thanks, Stephen. I'm speaking. I'll be willing to join the group because I'm very concerned about how the working groups are structured and being involved in the various working groups. I'm concerned both from the ALAC side of things in terms of improving the communication, but I think also at the RALO level, what is happening is that the RALOs are not giving the working groups there any props or recognition. So it's hard to attract members when they are being ignored by the RALOs. So, and I think that will be looked at as well.
Good point. Olivier, your hand is still up. Anything else?
I know that's all. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, we have three people. If anyone wants to volunteer, please talk to the three. I presume among the three of you, you'll decide who's leading the effort and who's drafting and who else is participating. And I will not set a deadline for you, but clearly since we've been talking about this for a long time, the sooner you can get to it, the better. But I understand time is constrained over the summer. Any other items? If not, we will adjourn 20 minutes early.
Sorry, I'm not.
Are we journeying 7 minutes late? I'm not sure which it is.
Alan, just
yes,
really quickly, I don't believe that we covered the item on agenda items for the ALAC call, so perhaps we can just do that on the ALT chat.
I called for suggestions.
Ah, I missed
the call is
that.
On the 28th. I'm asking for anyone have any suggestions or comments, requests for what should be on the agenda. That was one of the items under A8. Perhaps I didn't say it clearly enough. And we are not ending 20 minutes early. We're ending 7-8 minutes late. My apologies, and have a good day. And for those who will be in Paris, see you there or see you on the Skype chat if not. Thank you
Bye-bye.
All.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. The call has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today.